A credit union sues Dana Whitlock in federal court over a defaulted $18,000 loan. Her home address sits on the loan file, and the credit union has had no trouble mailing her monthly statements there. Instead of mailing the summons, its lawyer runs a legal notice in a newspaper for 3 weeks, then takes a default when Dana never appears. Can she undo it? Yes. And the reason sits underneath the rulebook. Due process asks whether the method the plaintiff chose was reasonably calculated to reach this defendant. Publication is a last resort for people who truly cannot be found. Dana could be found. Her address was on file. By the end of this episode, you'll run any fact pattern here through 4 questions, in order, and watch it come apart. Here's the root. First, service of process, in 2 layers. The constitutional floor of notice, then the Rule 4 machinery for individuals, for companies, and for waiver. Then, venue, which asks not whether a court has power, but which courthouse. Then, transfer, and the single question that decides between Section 1404A and Section 1406A. And finally, forum non convenience, the doctrine that ends in dismissal. Start where Dana started. Service of process is the formal delivery of 2 documents, the summons, the court's command to respond, and the complaint, which states the claim. It does 2 jobs at once, and the exam keeps them apart. The bottom layer is constitutional. Due process demands notice and a real chance to be heard. The top layer is mechanical. The federal rules say how to deliver. Miss either, and service fails. And service is not personal jurisdiction. Service is only notice of a suit the court can already hear. Flawless delivery never manufactures minimum contacts. Now the constitutional test, the one Dana won on. Notice reasonably calculated, under all the circumstances, to inform the defendant and give a real chance to object. Judge the method when it was chosen. Not by hindsight. Actual receipt is not required, so a defendant who ducks the mail cannot beat notice. But the method has to match what you know. Known address, targeted method. Which is why the credit union lost. Publication is a last resort for parties who cannot be found after a diligent search, not a shortcut past an address in your own file. And notice is not always a one-shot duty. A state mails a certified notice of a tax sale. The letter comes back unclaimed, and the state sells the house anyway. Not good enough. Once you know a notice failed, due process requires additional reasonable steps if any are practical. Now, the mechanics. For an individual inside the United States, Rule 4E hands you a menu. Follow the service law of the state where the court sits, or of the state where service is made. Serve in a state that permits certified mail, and it holds, even if the forum state forbids it. Or use one of 3 federal methods. Hand the papers to the defendant personally, leave them at the defendant's dwelling with someone of suitable age and discretion who lives there, or deliver them to an authorized agent. Whoever serves must be at least 18 and not a party, and the summons always travels with the complaint. Quick challenge. A process server catches your defendant at work and hands the papers to the cashier at the next register, who passes them along that evening. Good abode service or not? Not. The abode method needs the defendant's home and a person who resides in it. A cashier at a hardware store is neither. That he got the papers that night changes nothing, because actual notice never cures a method the rule does not authorize. And a party cannot serve her own process. Companies cannot be handed anything. So, Rule 4H routes service through a human who stands in for the entity. State law methods, or delivery to an officer, a managing or general agent, or any other agent authorized by appointment or by law. Someone central enough that the company can be trusted to learn of the suit. a night shift dock worker is not. Formal service costs money, so Rule 4D pays defendants to skip it. Mail a request to waive, with a prepaid means to return it, and at least 30 days to respond, 60 days if the defendant is abroad. Waive, and instead of the usual 21 days, you get 60 days from the date the request was sent. Refuse without good cause, and a defendant in the United States pays the later costs of service. But waiving is not surrender. A defendant who waives keeps every objection to personal jurisdiction and to venue. You gave up the delivery, nothing more. Then the clock. Under Rule 4M, you generally have 90 days from filing to serve. Miss it, and the court must dismiss without prejudice or set a service deadline. Second question. Venue. Not whether a court has power, but which courthouse. A court can have subject matter jurisdiction and personal jurisdiction and still be an improper venue. In federal court, the General Venue Statute, Section 1391, controls, even in a diversity case. State venue rules do not govern. It gives the plaintiff two hooks. Hook 1, residence, a district where any defendant resides, but only if all defendants reside in the same state. Hook 2, events or property, a district where a substantial part of the events or omissions occurred, or where the disputed property sits. Substantial does not mean the most. Several districts can qualify at once. There is also a fallback in Section 1391(b)(3) for the rare case where neither hook reaches any district, often a deal that went bad entirely overseas. Then venue lies wherever any defendant is subject to personal jurisdiction. Residence is defined by Section 1391(c), and it is asymmetric in a way the exam loves. A natural person resides in the district of their domicile. An entity defendant resides anywhere it would be subject to personal jurisdiction for that claim. So a company selling broadly resides in several districts. An entity plaintiff resides only in the single district of its principal place of business. And a defendant who does not reside in the United States can be sued anywhere and is disregarded when you test venue for the others. Now run 1. A cyclist is hit by a truck. The driver is domiciled in Franklin. The company is subject to personal jurisdiction only in Columbia, and the crash happened in Olympia. Sue both in Franklin on the residence hook? No. One out-of-state defendant kills that hook. The events hook is the real path, and it points to Olympia, where both can be sued together, because that hook does not care where anybody lives. File in the wrong district, and the defendant must object early. Improper venue is raised under Rule 12b3, and it is waivable. Leave it out of your first Rule 12 motion, and it is gone. Which brings the master distinction. Two federal statutes move a case from one district to another, and everything turns on one question. Was venue in the first court proper? If it was proper, and another district is simply more convenient, the tool is Section 1404A. If it was improper, the tool is Section 1406A. Same physical move. Two statutes, two standards. Under either one, the destination must be a district where the case could originally have been brought, and both reach only another federal court, never a state court, never abroad. From a wrong district, Section 1406A lets the court dismiss or transfer, and transfer usually wins, because it preserves the plaintiff's filing date. Here is the wrinkle that decides hard questions. A court can transfer under Section 1406A even if it lacks personal jurisdiction over the defendant. It needs no power over the defendant to pass the case to a court that has it. Picture a plaintiff racing a limitations deadline into exactly that district. Dismissal kills the claim. Transfer saves it. Then, the back end. Which law travels with the case? Transfer a diversity case for convenience under Section 1404A, and the result should not change because the courtroom did. So the transferee court applies the same state law, including choice of law rules, the original court would have applied. It holds whichever side moved. Under Section 1406A, the opposite. The first court was improper, so the case takes the transferee court's own law. Last piece of transfer. And the modern rule reversed what people expect. A forum selection clause does not make the plaintiff's chosen venue wrong. So, no Rule 12b3, no Section 1406A. Clause points to another federal court. You enforce it by a Section 1404A transfer. Clause points to a state or foreign court. Forum non conveniens. But a valid clause rebuilds the Section 1404A calculus. The plaintiff's choice gets no weight, and the plaintiff must show why the bargained-for court should be ignored. Only public interest factors count, because private convenience was settled by the contract. Transfer follows in all but unusual cases. Fourth and last, forum non conveniens. An inconvenient forum, a common law doctrine letting a court dismiss a case where venue and jurisdiction are perfectly proper because a far better court sits elsewhere. The outcome is the whole point. Dismissal, not a handoff, because that better forum is one no federal transfer statute can reach, usually a foreign country's courts. The defendant must show two things. An adequate alternative forum available to hear the case, and that the private and public factors strongly favor litigating there. Private factors are the party's convenience, access to proof, compelling unwilling witnesses. Public factors belong to the forum, court congestion, the local interest in local disputes, a court that already knows the governing law. Two points decide most questions here. A plaintiff's choice of forum normally gets strong deference, but it shrinks when the plaintiff is foreign, on the theory that their choice of a U.S. court is less likely to be genuinely convenient, and the alternative forum must be adequate, not equally favorable. Damage caps, no punitive awards, a smaller recovery. None of that blocks dismissal. Unless the remedy is so poor it is no remedy at all. A word on authorities, because this episode named no cases. The source teaches this topic through rules, and next-gen questions work the same way. They hand you a fact pattern and ask what the rule produces. This topic is unstarred, so the exam may print the governing law for you, a chunk of Rule 4, or Section 1391, and test whether you can apply it. If you keep only three things, keep these. Rule 4 and its two layers, reasonable notice underneath, and authorized method on top. Section 1391 and its two hooks. Residence only when all defendants share a state. Events wherever a substantial part happened. And the split between Section 1404A and Section 1406A decided by one question. Was the first court's venue proper? Now the traps. Straight from the examiner's favorites. 1. Mixing up Section 1404A and Section 1406A. The trigger is not convenience. It is whether venue in the first court was proper. 2. Forgetting the residence hook needs all defendants in one state. A single out-of-state defendant kills it. 3. Treating a corporate plaintiff and a corporate defendant alike. A defendant entity resides wherever it is subject to personal jurisdiction. a plaintiff entity only at its principal place of business. 4. Treating forum non-conveniens as a transfer. It is a dismissal. 5. Assuming a forum selection clause makes venue improper. Then, the service traps. Perfect service never cures missing minimum contacts. Abode service needs a resident of the home, not a neighbor and not a coworker. Waiver preserves your jurisdiction and venue objections. And actual notice does not save a method the rule never authorized. So, build one habit. 4 questions, in order. Was notice adequate? Was service proper? Is venue proper? And where? And if a party wants the case moved, is it convenience, a defect fix, or a foreign forum? Time for the quick check, and this one comes straight from the BARGO question bank. A plaintiff files a products liability suit in the District of Franklin, and everyone agrees Franklin is a proper venue. The defendant resides there, but it would rather litigate in the District of Olympia, where nearly all the witnesses live, where the product was designed, and where the documents sit. So it moves to send the case there for convenience and in the interest of justice. Which statute governs that motion? Option 1. Section 1406A, because every motion to transfer venue proceeds under that provision. Option 2. Section 1404A, because venue is proper and the motion seeks a more convenient federal forum. Option 3. Forum non-conveniens, because the proper remedy is to dismiss and let the plaintiff refile. Pause here if you want a moment. The answer is option 2. Section 1404A. The dividing line is whether the original venue is proper. Franklin is proper, so this is a convenience move, not a repair. Option 1 misapplies section 1406A. The tool only when the original venue is improper, and nobody says Franklin was wrong. Option 3 reaches for forum non-conveniens, but that ends in dismissal, and is reserved for a better home. No federal transfer statute can reach. One fact pattern, one distinction, and everything else follows. There are 30-plus more questions on this topic alone, each with every option explained like that. 5 things to take away. 1. Service has 2 layers and you must clear both. Notice, reasonably calculated to reach this defendant, judged when the method was chosen, and a method Rule 4 authorizes. 2. Venue asks which district, not whether there is power. Residence only when all defendants share a state. Events wherever a substantial part of them happened. 3. Entity residence is asymmetric. A defendant company resides wherever it is subject to personal jurisdiction, a plaintiff company only at its principal place of business. 4. Proper venue plus inconvenience means section 1404A, and the origin court's law travels with the case. Improper venue means section 1406A, and it does not. 5. Forum non-conveniens dismisses, and a thinner law abroad will not save you, which is why Dana gets her default set aside. The credit union followed a method. It just never chose one designed to reach her. Next time, Erie and state law. Practice this topic with more than 2,900 exam-style questions, free to start at nextgenbargo.com. This episode is for education and exam preparation only, not legal advice, and we are not affiliated with or endorsed by the NCBE, or any bar examining authority.